Go ahead, Phil.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is give you an overview of the highway. Major services provided by the highway is maintain roads and bridges in Tompkins County. We have 304 centerline miles of roads and 109 bridges, one of which has been closed for a couple of years. We've got 3,500 culverts plus. We provide snow and ice operations on 304 centerline miles of roads. We also contract with the towns to provide snow and ice operations on some of our roads. If you look at the FTEs, full-time equivalents, back in 07, we had 50.28 full-time equivalents. In 09, we had 49.78. In 2010, we had 47.28. We lost two, one of which was an MEO and an HEO. MEO, motor equipment operator, and an HEO is a heavy equipment operator. In 2011, we expect to go from 47.78 down to 43.03 through attrition. What we've got is, oops. What we have is we have one MEO that is, or two MEO positions that are vacant. Let me see if I can, they're out of order. Here's what we have. We have an unfunded HEO, heavy equipment operator, and a senior sign mechanic position that's unfunded. We're talking about reducing an HEO by 0.75. What's happening is that person is retiring the end of March, and we're going to not fund the position after March. The reduction of the two MEO positions, we currently have people in them, but I'm working with the administration and personnel. Because we're having people leaving in 2011, I believe that those people can be moved about and be retained in county employment. Going back, here is what we do. This is what we've done this year. We've worked on Lansingville Road, North Applegate Road, Searsburg, and Talmadge. Small culvert replacements, which are 30 inches and under. Along with that is the ditching to go with it to maintain the drainage systems. Large culvert replacement over 30 inches we've done on Connecticut Hill Road. Concrete box culvert, that was $24,000 to construct that. Jacksonville Road, it's a 72-inch road crossing pipe, that was $53,000. And Searsburg Road is a 36-inch road crossing pipe, and that was $10,000 to put in. I'm just trying to give you a flavor of, you know, what we do every day and the costs associated with it. Major rehabilitation programs, we use something called FDR, full depth reclamation, where we grind up the pavement and then we add oil and we basically reconstruct the subbase of the road. When that happens, then we either pave over it or we oil and stone over it. It's a surface treatment. We did Lansingville Road, 1 mile of FDR was $176,000. That includes some of the drainage, the work that was done. Now, North Applegate Road, 1 mile was $214,000. We're not currently complete on the shoulder reconstruction. Talmadge Road, which is 0.65, it's $117,000. and Searsburg Road was 1.29 miles. We've reconstructed or rehabilitated about 4 miles of roads this year. Minor rehab projects, this is truing and leveling, and it's then putting a chip seal or a slurry seal on that. We're going to be doing part of Coddington Road, it's going to be basically patching it because we're hoping that we're going to get the major construction project going in a couple of years. Comfort Road was done, Connecticut Hill Road was done, Midline Road was done, Ringwood Road was done, Schaefer Road, and Hartford Road is to be done before the end of the year. That's about 11.7 miles. Surface street program. Basically what this is we have roads that are in pretty good shape, and we do the surface treating basically to seal the roadway and to give us another wearing surface. We did 2 miles of Bostick Road, Caswell Road, Gulf Hill Road, Halseyville Road, Hates Road, Hillview, Hinman, Hornbrook, Lansingville, Mill Road, Old 76 Road, Nelson Road, Sebring Road, Sheldon Road, and Talmadge Road. It's about 32 miles of roadway. That's out of the 304 that we do have.
So when you say a mile, do you mean centerline?
Centerline mile, yes.
So it's both sides.
Yes. And what this is doing, it's keeping the roads that we have that are good and keeping them in good shape. It's a preventive maintenance item. Minor rehab projects. Basically, what we did was we did a T&L, truing and leveling on the roadway, and then we put 1.5, 2 inches of pavement on it. We've done Boyceville, Millard, Milliken, Newfield Depot, and Ringwood, and that's almost 6 miles. Bridge reconstruction this year, we've done Jersey Hill Road, which we're doing right now. Right now we have 163,000 in it, but that's, you know, replacement of a bridge. And South Danby Road, that was replacement of a bridge with a structural aluminum box culvert. Other roads that we've got going is the Warren Road reconstruction, which was $5.3 million. We're essentially complete with that. One that we're working on now is Ellis Hollow Road. Those are local dollars. We've spent about $500,000 to date. We'll be completing that road next. We'll start back on it next spring. Pressure points. Basically, uncertainty in materials. The price of fuel, oil-related items are just going up. We're not seeing it come down like it should and has in the past. Asphalt is still where it was last year. Steel is starting to come down, and concrete's starting to come down a little bit. A lot of steel and concrete we were shipping to China. Their economy's feeling it, and they're importing less steel and concrete. Our budget proposal, our requested, was $4,208,788, and we requested $466,764 in OTRs. The tentative budget, working with the administrative department, they've approved $100,000, which is basically paving. Now, over target requests, the $264,764 is to reinstate a road maintenance crew. What I'm asking for is a heavy equipment operator and 2 motor equipment operators and the rental on the equipment to reinstate a road maintenance crew. That's $266,000. The administration said no. They're recommended to zero, but in funding the paved roads, we requested $200,000, and they recommended $100,000. I guess it was 2004, the legislature saw that our highways were deteriorating, and what they did was they went ahead and they put a crew on. Basically, through attrition, we've lost people. We've basically lost that road maintenance crew. With the increases in the oil, asphalt, and everything, we're really falling behind again on the road maintenance end of it. What this does is it's a negative impact on the overall county road system. We're trying to maintain a pavement quality index at 7.5. What we're doing is we're reducing maintenance on low-volume roads. We're not providing the service on it that we're making them passable, but we're not making a, you know, instead of buying a Cadillac, we're getting a used Chevy. We're going to be doing less paving on county roads in the future. We had a capital program for paving. This is the last year for it, so you know, what we end up with is we do more oil and stone, which is a preventive maintenance to keep our roads in good a shape as they are. Questions?
Glad to get your hands up. Peter, you had you were first. Mike, second. Carol, third.
Who's first?
You are. Oh. Use the microphone, please.
Yes, sir. I have a couple of questions. I was looking at the numbers and trying to understand them. So when you talked about the first things where you, a list of roads that you did major reconstruction on, and it cost roughly $200,000 a mile, something like that. And I was comparing that in my mind to the Hanshaw Road project, which the price is more than 10 times that. So are you talking about local share, and are all of these roads
okay,
being paid 95% by other governments?
No, there's reconstruction and there's rehabilitation. Okay, reconstruction is where you take everything apart, take it right down to subbase, you redo all the drainage, you redo the subbase, you put in new layers of pavement. It's a complete reconstruction of the roadway. Rehabilitation is you take it down to the subbase, the gravel material, because you believe that it's still good, and you build it up from that point on.
And Hanshaw Road is what?
It's a reconstruction.
It's a reconstruction. And those first things that you showed, the first list of roads, of projects with I don't remember the names of them.
Let me see. Let me go back.
Here, I'll look on my thing. And
major rehabilitation?
Yeah. Yeah, major rehabilitation. That's not what we're doing on Hanshaw Road.
No, we are reconstructing it.
Okay, and these major rehabilitations, is that being paid for all by ourselves, or has that got...
It's a combination of money, combination of the capital money, and a combination, which is local money that we've
borrowed. That's local money, yeah.
And part of our maintenance program.
So CHIPS is not, you don't...
CHIPS, if I have an example, North Applegate Road, okay, what we did in there was we went through and we milled the road down, okay, and then we repaved it. Now, that $214,000 can go to the CHIPS program. CHIPS basically tells me, one of my guidelines is that the work that I do has to last for 10 years. Okay? And what'll happen is North Applegate Road, say 4 or 5 years from now, we'll go through and we'll either do a slurry seal or a stone and oil to rehabilitate, to basically bring it back up. Over a period of time, when you put asphalt down, bituminous material, it starts to oxidize and crack. And what the oil and stone and the slurry seal does is it seals the roadway, much like you seal your driveway.
Okay. Can I ask one more question or not?
Yeah, come on.
Okay. When you talk about the 7.5 on this index and what it is we try to do, it seems to me that if, as we cut crews, that really what it's going to mean is that roads will deteriorate more before they're fixed.
Yes, sir.
Something like that. And again, it's hard for me to put this into my mind except for one road, which I seem to be focused on. I must love it, is Hanshaw Road. When I drive on Hanshaw, I don't know what that index is for that road at the moment, but when I drive on that road just east of Warren Road, I feel that's unacceptable. I mean, that the shape in which that road is.
I agree. We've got a major reconstruction coming.
No, I know that. I do know that. But I'm thinking to myself, if we cut more out of our present activities in redoing roads, then we are going to find roads that are worse than that particular road.
Yes, sir.
Road, and we're going to find more of them.
Yes, sir.
I mean, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how do you decide when it's gotten so bad that you can't cut any more?
That's a good question.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, a couple of things. We used to keep track of the number of miles of road we should potentially do each year in order to keep it up on a period. Where are we with that? Can you give us an idea how many miles we ought to be doing a year and how many miles that we're able to do with our current budget?
Well, this year we've got four miles that we've done a major rehab. We've done minor rehab on 11.7 miles and surface treated 32 miles, which I think is great because that's 32 miles that we won't have to do anything major to for 4 or 5 years. That's, you know, out of 304 miles, centerline miles of road, that's a lot. And we basically rehabbed 6 miles of roadway. By that I mean we basically did a T&L and did a major rehab on them. You know,
we've got about 300 miles of road.
Yes, sir.
And so we've done what, about 40 miles of road this year?
Yes.
And is that rate going to keep up with the deterioration on the rest of the 260 miles?
Well, it's dependent upon costs of asphalt and oil-related materials.
I realize it's a cost, but I'm trying to get an idea of if we're keeping up with where we ought to be.
My ideal thing is if we can take care of 30 miles of roadway a year, anything over that is a plus.
Okay.
Once every 10 years, I'd like to hit roads.
And secondly,
with something to, you know, really upgrade them.
The other question I wanted to ask is about bridges. And we've done 2 bridges, and what's in store for next year? We used to have the idea of having always have a bridge on the shelf in case funding didn't come through for some reason. In other words, that meant having a bridge design a year ahead, mm-hmm. so that if something happened with a particular project, we could go to a second project and keep the bridges being rehabbed or rebuilt on a regular basis. Wondered how we're doing with that.
Next year I have three bridges in the county to be rehabbed or replaced. The design is basically done on them.
Okay, and your budget fully funds those?
Yes.
Thank you.
One of them starts with the word red.
I bet it doesn't. Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, I'd like to understand better the difference between a 7.2 and a 7.4. For example, Peter's stretch of road that he's unhappy with, what level is that at right now?
Well, I'd have to look in our program. We have a pavement management program that we utilize, and what it does is we update it, like at the end of the season. okay, to upgrade the whole system. Then we run it, and we basically say, okay, I've got $1.5 million. Where is the best place for me to put my money? And what it does is it gives me stretches of roads that say this one needs to be rehab, this one needs to be paved over, this one needs oil and stone, this one needs a slurry. That's what it does.
So I'm trying to, do we need to call this in, or there's something going on out here?
Concentrate, Carol.
It sounds like a fight.
You're coming to the budget hearing.
So, for example, I know they're not county roads, but ones that we might all be familiar with that we drive across, the worst of a city road, the Stewart Avenue, that was allowed to deteriorate to a great degree. What approximate level is that up
it's,
to this
it's a
7 point something range?
It's
a, or is
no,
that
it's,
way
it's
down
in a 4 range, 3 and 4 range.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a road that's just been paved and
eight,
done, is
8.
It an
0. 8?
What do you have to do to get to be a 10?
You don't have a 10.
There's no 10. What's
no.
the high? What's the
eight.
What's the scale? Is
yeah,
8.
It could be bugged.
Okay.
Yes.
I can't be a perfect 10. And so the difference between a 7.2 and a 7.4?
It's just a number when it gets to that. But when you start seeing it, the difference between a 7 and a 6 and a 5 and a 4 and a 3, okay, when they get to be down in the 3 range, that's areas that really need attention. And what we've been doing in the last couple of years is we've an example of this would be Black Oak Road. I don't know how many people are familiar with that. A couple of years ago, we went through and upgraded the drainage. The pavement was starting to deteriorate. We went through, redid the drainage system. We didn't rebuild the road because we have this proposed wind farm up there that's going to be happening in the next couple of years, and those trucks are going to destroy that road. I know they are. But what it did was upgrading the drainage allowed the pavement deterioration to slow down. So it's not failing at the rate that it was. That's kind of my goal, is to upgrade drainage.
Who sets the number at which we're aiming for?
That was set a number of years ago when we first started with the pavement management system before I got here. I've been using the pavement management system for the last 5 years, and it's a good tool. But then again, you know, you may have, let me pick a number, 10 roads that are put out by the pavement management system, but you've always got one or two roads that the deterioration during the winter, it happens too quickly that they fall apart. And there's always one or two roads that they get away from you, and you know, they were fine last fall, but in the springtime they're all rutted, and it might be because of construction traffic, it might be because of just how the water courses are in the area.
Does the pavement management system, is the Cornell system that we use?
No, this is a system called Stantec.
Okay, does Stantec give a recommended number that you, a quality index that you strive for?
They do have a pavement quality index, and, you know, we're aiming for the 7.3, 7.5 range.
Martha.
Thank you. I think it's a question for Joe. You told us that you've put money into another engineer, and I'm looking for that. Is it on page 122, civil engineer? It's a
yes.
Okay, so that's, it was 0 in 08 and 0 in 09, and now there's 53,000 there, right?
Yes.
What we anticipate doing with the mid-level civil engineer is basically to tighten up our quality control out when we have contractors working or we have our own people working. You know, many times I've got an engineering technician that is kind of doing double duty. He's out monitoring contractors, and he's also making sure that our guys have the he goes out and surveys the drainage systems to make sure that they get the grades right. So what this does is this will be a person that they can use for quality control on both pavement and other construction projects.
So John Lantman will still be, will he be the main or the only sort of designer?
I have two associate engineers. John is my oldest as far as being with the county longest, and then John Dolan is the other associate engineer. John Dolan worked on the inspection of Warren Road, and he's working on Ellis Hollow now.
So this new position then will sort of help in the...
It will add to that, okay. Yes. You know, in the last week I had a number of the, you know, the technician, he was down doing some work on Ellis Hollow Road, and then he, you know, in the morning and in the afternoon he was up shooting grades on one of the bridges that we're working on. So he gets spread pretty thin sometimes. He also does my GIS work on the computer, and he also does you know, a little bit of everything. If we need something that needs to be done, he goes and takes care of it.
Okay.
Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just wondering how many miles of road approximately don't live up to level 5?
I don't have that number, but I can get that to you.
Anyone else? Julie.
I was wondering how we can do without the senior sign mechanic.
What I've done is I have a highway technician that handles all of the striping. He also works with the sign shop. There's a manual of uniform traffic control devices that both the senior or both the sign mechanic and the highway technician use. Since the senior sign mechanic left, some of the responsibilities I've put upon the highway technician, and the highway technician works closely with the sign mechanic to get the job done.
So it may work okay.
Yes, it or seems not. To be working quite well.
I wanted to ask you about interfund revenues. Just, I've forgotten about this budget. I'm looking at page 119. Interfund revenues zero the previous 2 years, and then suddenly up in 2010, and I just wondered where that's from. It was up in 2010, then it's down for 2011, so it's the only thing on page 119.
Let's see. It went from 300 in 2010, 386,
yeah.
300, 871.
But it didn't exist before that, so I'm wondering where is the money from? What are we talking about?
That's the general fund contribution.
It's the general fund contribution.
Yeah.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
I didn't hear that.
The general fund. Interfund revenue and highway fund means the general fund, which puts in $4 million a year into the highway fund.
And a question on page 123, Public Works Administration. Can you tell me how that is? What's going to be there next this coming year?
What line number?
Near the bottom, 54607.
Yes.
So it's a dollar amount, but we're not sure what for.
That is correct.
When will that be determined?
Joe, you want to take that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be determined when we figure out the ultimate kind of management structure for the Public Works Departments.
So it'll be during this budget season?
Yeah. It had been a contribution to, I think, Ed's to the planning department, support a portion of Ed's salary. So right now that's in limbo.
Okay.
And you know I've made a proposal to change that structure.
So we'll be deciding it as part of the budget?
Yes.
And on page 126, please. The second line from the top, highway materials, goes
yes.
way down. What materials that refer to, and why don't we need them anymore?
It's not that we don't need them. We need them, but, you've got to cut somewhere.
That's a huge cut.
I know it is.
What materials are we talking about there?
What happens is during the year we receive state inspectors inspect our structures, our bridges. And what they do is they come up and say, okay, the handrail on Forest Home Bridge needs to be re-welded. And what we do is just go out and do the repair. Sometimes it's a red flag, which means it needs to be taken care of within a certain period of time, rather rapidly. It's just a way of basically taking care of the red flags.
That makes me uncomfortable. Thank you.
Me too.
Martha and then Brian.
Thank you. Bill, I'm sorry if I stepped back into the room a little late. I apologize if you covered this on the. In the big book, you've got the FTEs. The numbers don't match what you had in the PowerPoint. The big book says, for example, for 2011, you'll have 40, and the PowerPoint says 43.03.
What we have. Let's see. What's not included in that is my mechanics.
Okay. So this 43, that's the request?
Yes.
Okay. And then the previous years don't match either. 44.
They're probably six off, right?
Hard to read the numbers. Actually, yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, that's my six people that I have in my that work as service technicians and heavy equipment mechanics.
So why aren't they in the budget book?
They are under Knack County Road, but they're under
a different program.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's great.
Brian.
Yep. Thanks. We just recently got a copy of, I forgot what you call it, snow and ice agreements
yes.
or something like that.
Yep.
Do you also, in these construction projects during the year, do we have what's tantamount to mutual aid agreements with the different towns in doing some of those projects as well?
Yes, we do.
And yeah, I'm assuming that you work in conjunction with them and it almost looks like you do these things in, like, different areas of the county while you're there, because I see Jim's area is, like, really well taken care of for this year, and my area's got nothing.
Your area is, sir?
Groton.
There was quite a bit done up there.
I just looked real quick, and I didn't see... I don't see anything. So okay. My question is, you work with them, is that correct?
We work with the town superintendents, yes.
Okay. And as long as you're doing something, I just happened to look at this real quick.
An example, today I needed a broom to take care of a road. I borrowed one from one of the towns. Last week, someone needed a vibratory roller. We swapped the vibratory roller. So it's something that if I'm short one or two trucks to haul material and the town can help me, they will, and the same goes with me. If they call up and say, I've got this evolution happening, I need some help, we provide, we work together, same with snow and ice.
Okay. All right. Somebody may ask me about this list, that's all.
Okay.
Any other questions for Bill? Thank you very much, Bill. Arell and Lamarrell is here with the facility.
I have a question for Arell. At 7:30 every night, around 7:30 every night, the cold air starts pouring down out of that thing right there.
Well, that means the meeting has 10 minutes.
And I start sneezing.
Yeah, fortunately, when we did improvements here, in order not to disturb the original architecture, typically we put diffusers in the ceiling rather than in the existing soffit there. So the unit kicked on. I turned it on probably an hour ago because it was quite stuffy. And I figured all of you might be tired and getting drowsy. So, code requires that we ventilate, so the ventilation. But yes, those are directed right towards you, unfortunately.
Are you trying to be late for your presentation? Yes. Is that a...
Well, no, actually.
So explain the vibrant colors of your slides. You kind
yes.
of departed
yes.
from the norm.
Yes. I think it's my South American heritage. I like vibrant colors. Okay.
Well, the facilities division, is, as you know, provides engineering maintenance and cleaning services for the county's facilities. We currently are responsible for maintaining 15 county facilities, the most recent being the health department on 55 Brown Road. Hopefully all of you have had a chance to visit that facility. Also, we, as part of those services, we do planning, design, construction management, and contract administration of our operations, as well as capital projects. And the services on the maintenance that include cleaning of facilities, maintaining them, repairing and renovating these county-owned facilities. This slide shows maintenance appropriations over the past 5 years. And as you see, the trend is going down. This is showing for 2010 and 2011. The target shows a reduction in target of about 51,000, 2.5% reduction. We had 369,000 in one-time funding in 2010 and zero now. I mean, this includes the target request. It doesn't include over targets at this point. So overall, the reduction is a 17% reduction. Now, the majority of that one-time funding was for deferred maintenance, which is changing this year. The proposal that I'll share later has to do with doing that as capital, deferred maintenance, rather than as part of the operating budget. FTEs, proposal has a reduction in 1.5 FTEs. The other budgeting unit that is under facilities is for utilities, insurance, taxes, and rents. That has gone up slightly, and it's not as much for utilities. Utilities are fairly stable. Electric has gone down slightly. Natural gas has gone up. But the rent, I've included a figure for COFA rent. Now, that may change, but the assumption when I prepared the budget in August was it I would put money in there for leasing space for Office of the Aging, which did not exist in 2010. It was cut out of the budget 2010. So that's really the significant increase in that budgeting unit. Can I just maybe parse that a bit? I'd call that costs of occupancy as opposed to lease. So again, that would be the cost to occupy space other than in this building for COFA.
Right, and that's showing 2010 and 2011. So it's basically a $26,000 increase for that budgeting unit. The 2011 budget proposal for the combined requested and recommended the target stayed the same. The over-target request, I requested $58,683. County administration approved just about that amount, $2,000 less. However, that includes about $103,000 in rollover. So in effect, the effective over-target is more like $160,000, but our division is contributing or requesting the use of rollover in $103,000. That's the total department breakdown in expenditures. So overall, it's about a 9.3% reduction. That shows the FTEs, reducing it by 1.5. FTEs, and those is one cleaning position and one seasonal worker position. The total over target requests are 58,000 requested, 56 was recommended by the county administrator for a $2,000 difference. And this is the OTR summary. I changed the table a little bit to hopefully make it easier to follow. We have a total of five OTRs shown in priority. OTR number one is for cleaning and maintenance positions, and that is part of the 6.9 reduction in our target. The only way that we could basically reduce our spending was to look at different areas, and we reduced a cleaning position and a seasonal worker position. So we, as part of the over-target, requesting those funds to basically continue maintenance of service. The county administrator approved that over-target request in the same amount. Over-target number two is building maintenance and repair funding. $35,000 was requested as target. It was approved as one time. Now, that over target is offset by a rollover in the same amount of $35,000. Number three, I've got slides after these to get into more detail about what each of these over targets are, but at least I'm explaining what the request versus the recommendation was. Number three is energy-related service contracts. Requested target of 66. County administration approved one time in the same amount, and that was also offset by rollover. Number four is for cleaning supplies, the request for a target of 2,000. County administration basically indicated that we should be able to come up with those funds within our existing budget, so which I think we can. That was also offset by rollover. And number five is health department building service contracts. A request is a target for $2,000, and county administration approved it as target for 2,000. So the first over target request number 33 is for cleaning and maintenance positions. It includes a seasonal worker and a cleaner with fringes for a local share of $56,683. So this is for an existing night cleaner position and our existing seasonal worker position that is basically worked 6 months out of the year and is assigned to spring summer grounds work on some general basic maintenance responsibilities. And we would see a noticeable impact in maintenance and cleaning services if this OTR were not funded, and it would basically impact our ability to maintain our facilities at the standard that we're accustomed to. By reducing our staff by one cleaning position, basically that means that we're adding to 20,270 square feet that has to be basically divvied up amongst the existing cleaners that would remain. And just for historical notes, since 2000, Facilities has taken on responsibility for cleaning five additional buildings, the mental health building, the emergency response center, public works facility, the old library, and the Board of Elections training center without increasing cleaning staff. And in 2000, each cleaner cleaned an average of about 14,260 square feet as compared, if this over target is not approved, they would be cleaning 21,620. And this is a graph that basically shows from 2000 to 2011, the yellow line is basically the square footage that we clean. Currently in 2011, if the over target is not approved, we would be cleaning 324,000 square feet, which the number below that in black is 21,620 square feet per cleaner. As compared to back in 2000 on the far left, we were cleaning 228,200 square feet, and each cleaner on average was about 14,263. So square footage is increased, and as well as the coverage, or how much the cleaners are expected to clean. As it is right now, we're spread pretty thin. With this reduction, it'd be harder to accomplish the work. So the types of activities that would need to be reduced or eliminated if this OTR is not approved would be things like window washing, carpet cleaning like shampooing, desk side recycling collection, upholstery cleaning. In some buildings, we do conference room setups, not in many, plantings, litter pickup, carpet vacuuming, dusting, desk side garbage collection. So those would be reduced. And we would rely for the seasonal workers, since that position, if it weren't approved, we would rely on maintenance mechanics that are at a higher labor grade to assume those basic groundskeeping duties that were formerly carried out by the seasonal worker. So the focus would mostly be on mowing lawns, but things such as plantings, weeding, mulching would need to be reduced or eliminated. The next OTR is number 34. It's building maintenance and repair funding. This is basically keeping our building repairs line item close to what it was the year before. So $35,000 is requested to keep it at that level, and it would be offset by $35,000 rollover. The request was for target. I'm showing what was recommended by the county administrators one time. So this is a maintenance of effort. It would restore the funding that was lost as part of the 6.9% reduction. However, without this maintenance of effort funding, this account would be reduced by 30 to 40% as compared to what we've been spending over the last 5 years. And since 1999, there's been a 30% increase in the total building area maintained by the Facilities Division. And in that same period of time, there's been nearly a doubling in the average square feet maintained per maintenance person, which means that the square footage that we're responsible for is increased, but the staffing has been reduced. So each maintenance person is basically maintaining a larger area. So this approach, if this OTR is not approved, would only be a short-term solution, as 1 year I'm showing, because after that, the backlog of maintenance starts to increase, which means that the costs are going to be higher in future years. And this is a graphic that shows kind of maintenance analysis from 1999 to 2011. The light green shows the building area, which is increased. We're currently at 425,000 square feet. It was back in 99 about 338,000 square feet. The orange is the actual maintenance cost, and that's not labor. It just includes our building repairs, what we use for contracts, materials, supplies for maintaining our facilities. And that the reason for the big spike is, as I indicated before, previously we were doing a lot of the deferred maintenance, which was more like capital type deferred maintenance because they were large projects. That was included as part of our operating budget. But this year we're proposing that be come out of a capital fund. And so that reduction from 686 down to 115 is the loss of that deferred maintenance funding. And then the yellow graph on the bottom is the square feet maintained per person. It's at 60,000 now, and it was, I think, 33 back in 99. So it's almost double. So if this funding is not approved, there would be a decrease in the general maintenance work performed. Focus would be on essential and emergency maintenance work. There would be minimal preventive maintenance performed. And the types of things that would, I mean, the expenditure or a reduction would cause some difficulty in mechanical systems performance, indoor quality, equipment downtimes, and customer comfort and satisfaction. Things like reducing the frequency of filter replacements, that would impact indoor quality. It's not required to do it as often as we do, but we do it because it minimizes indoor quality problems in buildings, which we've had several over the years. We would eliminate things such as plantings, flowers, and mulching, and there'd be limited amount of improvements or renovation work performed in buildings. We would just focus on maintenance. And we may consider back-charging departments for some services such as moving, hauling, and tipping fees and other non-maintenance-related work, which doesn't amount to very much. The third over target is number 35. It's energy-related service contracts in the amount of $66,450, which would also be offset by rollover. We were requesting as target and county administration recommended one time. Now, this OTR provides funding for service contracts that are required to maintain the HVAC and control systems that were installed as part of the Johnson Controls Guaranteed Savings Energy Performance Contract. And that contract requires that all installed systems be maintained to ensure the optimal performance. Otherwise, Johnson Controls can't guarantee savings. It's just like you have to tune your car, and if you don't, then it's not going to perform as efficiently as it should. So, I mean, we have the option of canceling those service contracts, but when we do, then they cannot guarantee the savings. Now, when we initially entered into the contract with Johnson Controls about 4 years ago, my plan was that if after 3 to 5 years, we're either meeting or exceeding our guaranteed savings, I may consider reducing those service contracts. And I discussed that with the county administrator. We're not there yet. We've always just about met it and slightly exceeded it. However, once you stop servicing some of these systems, controls especially, they're computerized, they tend to drift, and you have to recalibrate and do work on an annual basis, we may start to drop below the savings that we had expected. My recommendation in future years is that we reduce it, but not eliminate it entirely. There's a over target for cleaning supplies. It's a minimum one, $2,000, also offset by rollover. And basically, this is to allow for continued use of green cleaning products. So if not funded, we may need to use either less effective or less environmentally friendly cleaning solutions, or reduce the frequency of some of our cleaning operations. However, as I stated earlier, it shouldn't be difficult to come up with that amount in other accounts. As the year progresses, there are accounts that we don't draw down as much, and so I wouldn't get too concerned about this. Our plan is to continue.
I'm not concerned about that, but in the book it's called a new initiative, and it's not really a new initiative. It's a continuing.
Yeah, it shouldn't.
So it shouldn't have been called.
No, I don't recall marking it that, but no, this is maintenance of effort. And the last over-target request is Health Department Building Service Contracts. As you know, that we've moved into a new building at 55 Brown Road, and these service contracts are for systems that are new to that building that did not exist at Bigsby. So those specifically are sprinkler system, and an emergency generator. So the cost for service contracts for those two systems and the expiration of the warranty period will be early next year. So then the responsibility falls on the county to service those systems. And this is a capital deferred maintenance that Joe has talked about before. Basically, what the request is $2.4 million and spread over 3 years, so $800,000 per year. Now, in my five-year maintenance plan for next year, the total deferred maintenance was $2.4 million. So I'm spreading it over 3 years. I don't see a problem in doing that. And so the next slide, I'll show you how I basically prioritized it over the 3 years. But these funds are basically for replacement of systems or building components that have exceeded their design life. And the funding priorities would be given to areas first of life, safety and legal compliance, such as code compliance, and then damage or deterioration of facilities, taking care of our facilities so they don't further deteriorate. So this slide here, and I've got a handout that I can provide you as well, shows the how we would use the funds over 3 years and what those categories are. I have a much more detailed spreadsheet that breaks it down by buildings and those categories. But I think for this presentation, I wanted to show you the categories. Roofing is one that we've deferred for several years now. So we have roof systems that are well beyond their warranty period and are leaking. They're membrane ballasted roofs. So what I'm proposing for 2011 is to focus on roofing replacements, fire alarm system, because that's a life safety code issue, and then site work. And site basically includes sidewalks and parking lots. We've been cited by the city for some of our sidewalks, and so these would address improvements to those sections of sidewalks around some of our facilities. 2012 would then focus on HVAC system replacements, electrical upgrades like electrical panels, transformers, and then some site work. That 2012 actually is more parking, whereas 2011 is sidewalks. And then 70,000 envelope means basically the exterior of the building, excluding the roof. So it would be masonry work, repointing, entrances, steps, things of that nature. And then 2013 would focus on flooring. Now, flooring is not a high priority. However, we've been deferring flooring for mental health at Human Services Building at the old jail for several years. And that's the one thing that every department, when I meet with them, requests that we replace the carpeting. And we do it only if it becomes a safety hazard, if it starts unraveling and people are tripping. So I put that as the year three priority. It could move up in certain buildings if it becomes more of an issue. So that would be flooring and then an elevator upgrade for ADA compliance in one of our buildings. So that's how I would divide the $2.4 million over 3 years. And the impacts of, if not funded, the deferred maintenance will, it continues to accumulate. I mean, the buildings are getting older, and the deterioration of the buildings will continue, but it will accelerate. Just like Bill was saying before about roadways, if we don't maintain it, then the deterioration accelerates, which means that the cost will increase in the future, and then when something does break down, then I'll be coming to committee in the legislature asking for general contingency funds to replace those systems or components to the buildings. And that's my
questions. Frank, I had his hand up first. Go ahead.
Well, I've got several questions, Earl. I was just rereading Joe's preamble to the budget, and somewhere in there is the criteria that you described. Health, there were three.
Health, safety, and core governance.
Right? Okay. Health, safety, and core governance. The first question is related to the the contracts, the OTR, maintenance of effort, energy-related service contracts, it's OTR 35. If we're required to keep those contracts in force in order to comply with what we bought, why would they not be in the base budget as opposed to an OTR? Isn't that considered core service?
Well, as I said before, when the county entered into the contract with Johnson Controls, I modified the contract that would allow us to basically not be bound to pay for the service contracts for the full 15 years. So I indicated to them that after either 3 or 5 years, that the county may decide to either reduce or eliminate servicing those. Because, I mean, that's only to guarantee those savings. Now, we could, we may be able to say, well, we can maintain those systems ourselves and still achieve those savings.
But would it violate the warranty provisions of the contract?
They could no longer guarantee the savings after that. But warranty, as far as equipment and systems, no, it wouldn't violate those.
But I thought when we embarked on this, one of the major, if not the major, selling point was the savings. And if we're doing something that could jeopardize those savings, it seems like we're shooting ourselves in the foot.
Right. I'm not recommending this cut. These are the only areas where I could see that we could cut. Otherwise, we would have to either cut our entire building repairs line or staffing. So this is a core service that I'd prefer not cutting. And what's being recommended is a one-time. I'm very happy with that and pleased with that. And what may happen in future years is that we reduce that and keep service contracts only in those areas where we feel are essential to guarantee those savings.
Okay. Wait a minute, Jim. I have another one. That may come back for more discussion. Okay. The maintenance of effort, OTR 33, it's the night cleaner's position you'd like to have back. Are we precluded from having individuals in the SWAP program work at night under supervision? Do you know?
We've used them, but not. We can't lay off a position and then use SWAP crews to provide those same services. We've used them as supplemental. I mean, usually if like SWAP helped with the Bigsby cleanup, they've helped in the past with some grounds work, moving.
I mean, obviously, there's some things that a participant in the SWAP program, because of safety and insurance, and because we've done it before, you can't have individuals running chainsaws, for instance, that type of thing. But is there some combination of those items in there that we could have somebody accommodate? Do we have to keep the position pure in order to not violate any condition of the contract? It sounds like we do.
I believe that's correct. Right. We couldn't lay those individuals off and replace them. They could supplement, but they can't replace.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Who else? I wasn't looking. Who? Do you all mind? I'll just go around this way. Carol?
Yeah. What percentage of your budget is staff versus other expense, approximately?
For your two budgeting units, our operating budget and our utilities on the operating.
Yeah, the operating.
Yeah. So that, $1,175,000 is basically staffing or salaries,
and the balance, make sure I have that.
2.9.
Yes, the target is $2,036,000, so $1,175,000 is personal services.
2.3 or whatever.
50.
Okay, and then when we went to maintaining some of our agencies, space for our agencies, did we do anything to account for that or to... it has come up in relation to a couple of them, like the library. Did we just at some point decide to give that away and take it on, and so it's now in our target, and there's nothing we can do about it? Or is there anything that we can do to?
I'm not sure I understand.
Offset like, any of
we
that.
We own the library. Yeah, the building belongs to the county. So there was an agreement years before I came to work here that the county would provide those services to the library, the old library. When they moved to the new library, we tried to increase the staffing because they moved to a larger facility. This one was about 38,000, that one's 72,000. So we wanted to increase it, which we didn't get that.
Okay. But I had gotten the impression in one of their presentations that at some point that got moved from an internal charge to something we just took on, and that somehow now we have to maintain effort, but we don't get to go back and count that as part of what we at some point increased doing for them. So I just wondered if you saw any room for...
Well, we've reduced staff at the library over the years. When we took on the mental health building, that used to be serviced by Challenge Industries, and because of cuts back several years ago, we had to cut contracts before we could cut staffing. So we cut the cleaning contract at the mental health building, and we pulled cleaners from other buildings, library being one of them. Human services was the other. Those departments didn't like that. That we reduced staffing in those buildings in order to cover a mental health building.
And then spaces like the board of elections training center.
Yes.
What percentage of the time is that used? And is there any way we can?
It's minimal.
It's minimal.
Yeah, we wish it weren't as remote because we have to go up there and clean and remove the garbage. So it peaks when they're doing training and during the election season. But during other parts of the year, we probably go up there a couple of times a week. So it's very minimal.
But we own the building.
No, we lease the space.
We lease the space. Is there any way we could move that or other operations to the unused portion of our highway building, out on
Bostwick
Road?
I mean, that was considered for the Board of Elections when we were looking for space for Board of Elections storage. Mm-hmm. We looked at other, existing space. I mean, actually, the old library was where they were, and I think still are, storing their old voting machines. Mm-hmm. But because of the condition of the old library and the roof and others, they were paying, I'm not sure how much did the county spend for those voting machines. They didn't want to risk putting the electronic voting machines at the old library.
No, I understand that. But either the machines and or the money that we're spending to lease a space that's only used part-time, could any of that be moved into space that is sitting there unused?
No. I mean, it didn't meet the requirements for the Board of Election storage. First, they have to transfer those electronic voting machines needed to be taken in and out of the facility. So the only space that's available at the Bostwick Road facility is on the second floor. Size-wise, there's not enough space to accommodate the voting machines. I mean, I guess they could have training there, but the storage of those...
How much would the training piece save us? Does anybody know?
The machines are up.
You train them.
Machines are up there, Carol, and you got to train on the machines.
Right. I'm picturing the space for the.
And you'd also have
space.
To move soil and water. You got out of that building.
Thank you,
Martha.
Thank you. I think these are questions for Joe. OTRs 34 and 35 are funded with rollover, but right. They seem to be recurring expenses, right?
Yeah. That's true. The way the OTRs were put to us, they would be built into target, so they'd be considered a part of the target, but they were funded with rollover. So you'd have basically a freebie. You'd have it supported with one-time money in 2011, but then it would be built into baseline in 2012. So my preference was, if it's being funded with one-time money, let's identify it as a one-time item and then revisit it back in 2012 as opposed to building it into the base.
So shouldn't those lines under Tyler be, shouldn't there be a yes there?
Well, the OTR.
Actually, no. No, because we would fund that item with rollover money. So the money is not, under their plan, it wouldn't be a Tyler. Under the recommendation, we're using that money in the 2011 budget to fund that expense. So it's not a Tyler. A Tyler would be if we build it into the baseline. So we bring up the base, the target, by $35,000. And we say to them, we're going to take your rollover money and put it back into general fund balance. That would be a Tyler.
That's how we've redefined it as.
No, but that's because then you're raising taxes. You're raising taxes to build up that baseline, and you're putting money back in the bank. That's a Tyler. This is not a Tyler. You give me. Can we try it again?
Well, I guess he used the word redefined, so that's. I mean,
I don't think it's been redefined. I think if we were to build up baseline spending, target spending for facilities by say $35,000 to do this, mm-hmm. and the department said we've got $35,000 in rollover to commit to it, we could say no thanks. We're going to build up your baseline, and we're going to pay for that with property taxes. So we're going to build up our property tax baseline as well. Mm-hmm. But we'll take your rollover and put it back into fund balance. That's a Tyler. That's not what's being proposed here. You'll see that elsewhere. There are some places we've done it, but not here.
You're not raising the target this year to include it.
Correct.
You're paying for it this year with rollover, but it's not in the target. However, you know that next year you're going to get the same request.
Yes, and we'll visit it next year. As opposed to essentially automatically building the target of facilities for 2012, we would revisit that issue in 2012.
Okay.
In terms of using one-time money for a cost that many of you may identify as recurring, both the department and I are in the same place. We're going to use one-time money to do it. It's whether you built up target in the process or
okay.
not.
All right. Now, another question on the deferred maintenance capital plan. Joe, I think you've described, and I'm not sure where it is, that in 2011 there would be $100,000 for planning?
Yeah, I put $100,000 in the capital budget in one-time cash to support basically the preparatory work, maybe a little bit of seed money to get that project started in 2011. So when we go through capital, there's $100,000 of one-time money, cash, for that purpose.
Okay, so we're going to borrow for $800 a year for 3 years, but in addition, when we get to the capital program, we'll see another $100.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And that could take the borrowing down by $100,000. It could almost be looked at as kind of a prepayment, maybe, of some of those costs.
Right.
But it is added. I mean, it's seed money to get that project going.
Mike.
I'm still a little fuzzy on the Tyler explanation because in this over target are positions, as I understand it, right?
Yes.
And so whenever we used to, anyway, do Tyler, we would do that. We would raise the target so that those positions were not being funded by one-time money. And now it sounds like we're funding it with one-time money.
No. The positions are being funded, tell me if I'm wrong,
I'm
with
sorry,
target
yes.
money.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
So I did build up target.
Right.
I keep saying
you
I.
You are, okay.
We.
That's the
right.
first one.
Right, that's number one. So that target is raised to accommodate that.
All right.
Morrell, can you tell me what the source of the rollover has been in your budget?
From $103,000, some was from building repairs, that funding that wasn't used. Either we bids came in lower than expected, and very little from none of it would be from personal services. So it would,
right, that, I understand that.
So it would be from our building repairs account line, and very little from our service contracts.
Okay. So didn't spend quite as much on contracts, and you haven't done quite as much expense on building repairs.
Well, the bids came in lower than expected. I think with the economy, it's been to our favor. Some of the projects we've done, boiler replacements and such, have, it's come in lower than our estimates.
Okay. And we did, and you chose not to use that money for additional building repairs?
Well, by the end of the year, we didn't have enough time to spend the money.
Too late. Right. The other thing, and I brought this up in committee one time, and I'm looking at your capital proposal here, and I think much of it is excellent, but I continue to have a problem with carpeting as a capital expense. I have no problem with it on a new construction when you're starting out, but I have a problem going out and borrowing money for something that's regularly replaced. I personally think that ought to be chargeable to the program, and rather than to a capital like this, because it gets used down. And it can be expected to be replaced on a regular basis. So I'm having a little difficulty there, and I may be the only one that feels that way. But it may be a stretch, but I'm thinking of it a little like our bridges, where we have the towns maintain the wearing surfaces on our bridges as part of their expense. We build the bridges, but they have to pay for the parts that wear down on a regular basis. And I see that, and I think that there could be a real argument made that's a program issue with the carpeting.
Anyone else? Peter.
Well, I too am having difficulty understanding this deferred maintenance. I mean, I think I understand it, but I don't exactly see what the difference would be. I mean, let's suppose, I'm assuming now that the question happens, what's going to happen in 2014 and 2015? And I assume there'll be other projects that are deferred maintenance. And then if I say, okay, well, why don't we just hire people on capital programs? If it's a recurring expense that you have to pay, what's the difference between spending $100,000 on a job where there's going to be another $100,000 next year and another $100,000 the next year and so forth? There'll always be a new one, and we borrow to do them. Why is that different than having a person that we hire with a salary of $100,000 and we pay that person's salary by borrowing money, $100,000 every year, and paying it off? I heard that places get into a disaster. In particular, the housing market got into that disaster where people were borrowing money that they couldn't pay off. And I can't understand why this is different. I may be missing something, but it looks to me as if this is just another rewording of using borrowing money to pay an ongoing expense.
Who wants to? Joe?
We're deciding.
Joe or Ralph?
I mean, I could give some of the, initially, when we did the capital plan a few years back, we were including that as part of the operating, our operating budget. The thing was that we were getting about $400,000 roughly.
I can't hear you well enough.
We were getting about $400,000 a year for deferred maintenance. The problem is that this is catch-up. This is backlog maintenance. If we were caught up, then yes, we would not have, I wouldn't think, a capital deferred maintenance project, and we would just have in our operating budget to take care of some of these things as carpeting and others. But we've have such a backlog in order to catch up, we're saying about $2.4 million. Now, my current plan shows that next year, because we keep pushing things
back, because $400,000 doesn't go very far as roof replacements or HVAC systems. So initially, I mean, this year, it's part
well,
of our
what
operating
happens
budget.
In 2014?
Well, then you have systems that are 20 years old in 2014, and then you're looking at replacing those. But it stabilizes. In 2014, we're about probably $300,000 for several years. But what's happened is we've deferred for several years that it's built up to about $2.4 million.
Well, okay. Then I would feel more comfortable if one could see an honest picture of the next 20 years of this. I'm just wondering whether this is a problem that we're building ourselves, that we're building into our finances, where these expenses will continue to recur on a regular basis and we'll be borrowing to pay them, and that's the way to bankruptcy. So I would really like to see an analysis over a much longer period of time as to when to really convince us that this is a once-in-a-lifetime, or at least once-in-a-20-year event, and that after that, what's going to happen is that all of the maintenance will come out of our general operating budget. If I don't see that, it just looks like the first step to a problematical way of financing. So that's...
That was your question and comment all at once. Ed,
I
want to do that, please.
Actually, those very issues were addressed in the capital plan, the original 20-year capital plan, and we identified a gap in annual maintenance, both in highway and in facilities, which we felt the legislature should fill. Hasn't happened yet, and so if that doesn't ever happen, you're right, it would end up building up again eventually. But this is a backlog that results. The five-year highway plan was designed to fill a backlog of work that hadn't been funded over a number of years. This is sort of the same thing as that five-year highway plan, to try to get caught up to a point where then if you choose to fund what annually it takes to maintain the system, you won't get in that position again. But you will only not get in that position if you choose to fund it, which is a future decision of the legislature.
I have Dooley, then Frank. Are you trying to answer Peter's question, or do you have a question?
It's on this Peter's question.
I think it's important. Go ahead.
Legislative human nature being what it is, what Ed described was very painful to watch happen. We get estimates of what it will cost in our operating budget to maintain our facilities, and we cut it. We don't fund it as necessary, and the backlog builds up. And once recently with Highway, we tried to fix that with this capital program for 5 years. It got delayed and spread out over more years. We continued not to fund the necessary upkeep. And so we have deferred maintenance accumulating again in roads, and it's really noticeable in buildings now. Ed said it well, but it's our fault. And with you on the board now, maybe it won't happen again.
I thought Ed said it well also. Go ahead.
Just staying on the same theme, I'm a little confused about the use of this $100,000. Not to put Joe on the spot, but in Joe's epistle, on page 4, it says proposed initiatives. As a part of the capital plan associated with the budget, county administration recommends a 3-year, $2.4 million bonding to address a backlog of capital maintenance and improvement needs at various county buildings. No problem. $2.4 million to address these building needs. This initiative will ultimately reduce the scope and cost of building repairs and enable economies of scale. No problem. A one-time allocation of $100,000 has been budgeted to begin planning for this project. Planning is different than initiating the repairs and the maintenance. What happens if we don't fund the planning? Is it going to have, is somebody going to take the responsibility for prioritizing the plan the way Arell did it in that one sheet? I mean, it sounds like we're capable of doing the planning without allocating $100,000 for it. So I'm glad Martha began by raising this particular thing because it's created a little discussion about it. Do you want an answer? Yeah, I want an answer.
Okay. Yeah, and I may be repeating myself. So if I am, I'm sorry, it's late. It is for any necessary study, architectural engineering, things like that, that needs to happen to make sure that this project occurs as we'd like it to. So if there's, again, a need for an architect, an engineer, those kinds of things, to get plans ready so that we can spec it, bid it, and buy it, that's what it's for. Okay. Frank, I guess I would expand on that. It could be a source of seed money. If we want to get projects started in advance of a bond, this would provide the source of cash to get it started, to kind of prime the pump.
What you were referring to before,
as seed money.
I think it was Mike that made that. It would be repaid.
Could be repaid from bond proceeds, or we just borrow $100,000 less.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Borrow $100,000 less?
Yeah,
then the 2.4, then 2.3. So 2.4, you'd use the 100,000 and borrow 2.3 ultimately.
Any other questions? Thank you. We're done. Thank you, Arell.
Thank you.
Joe, thanks. Does someone have a question over there? Okay. Thank you. I think your idea of the primer. Maybe we have to vote it off. I don't know.
We were going to offer, if anybody wanted a primer on this budget, we're talking Tyler's, OTR's, we're now talking under target requests, all those kinds of things. We were going to spend some time tonight to do that. It's really late. We would offer, if anybody wants to stay, Kevin and I can talk to you about that. Or we can devote 5 or 10 minutes before one of the other meetings and do the same thing. I think it's good to refresh everybody.
Yes, I think we should do that. Our next meeting is Monday at 7 o'clock at the Community Budget Forum, which everyone here is aware of. Monday, and the meeting of this group is, I believe it's at the library that we own and maintain. September 28th is the next meeting of this group. Martha.
I just want to make a comment. While we're talking, before Nathan left, he mentioned that he manages the facilities at Guthrie, and for 500,000 square feet, every year he gets $4.5 million for maintenance.
So
on my little calculator here, I said, well, let's see, it looks like we got $2 million is your sort of basic cleaning and maintenance, and 325,000 square feet. So if I did this right, he gets $9 a square foot, and we're working on $6.15 a square foot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And he doesn't have unions to work with.
Joe, the public listens to this about Tyler's and all that stuff, too. Can we do a 5-minute primer at the library?
At the library?
No.
No?
No. I prefer not to do it at the library.